is on our heart. The book of Daniel chapter 8. I want to read just the very last verse of that chapter. And then we're going to jump into chapter number 9. Interesting verses this morning. Verses that the Lord dealt with me about during my time of sickness and even since. And I'm going to ask you if you would please stand to your feet. There were days that I was so dizzy, many days, that I could not read. My nerves were so shot, I could not listen to any noise whatsoever. I didn't want to hear the magazine pages being turned within my hearing. Couldn't stand nothing. All I could do was just sit there or lay there and just get through it. And I want to preach on this thought today from Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. When you are overwhelmed. When you are overwhelmed. Look at verse 27 of Daniel chapter 8. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Verse 3 of chapter 9. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faith, of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel hath transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. That is the reading of Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. Of Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 13, if correctly read. How many times did you see Daniel say, we've sinned against the Lord? How many times do you see where Daniel says there's a curse that's come upon us? Reckon there's been a sickness that swept their land, that swept this world in the last year and a half? It's a curse that's come upon us. Well, Preacher Darren, scientifically, honey, it's a curse that God has allowed to come upon us. And I didn't want it, but I got hold of it. And it was nasty. And I'm thankful just to have lived through it. What to do when you're overwhelmed? Father, this morning, we need the help of God. Lord, we come before you, Father, and we confess to you, Lord, our wickedness, our evil, our iniquity, our transgression, our trespass, our sin. God, I've sinned before you. My family's sinned before you. This church has sinned in your sight. Our nation, Lord, has sinned in the sight of Almighty God.
Lord, would you forgive us? Would you help us? Lord, would you help us to dig in this portion of the Word of God that you might help your people? Lord, for this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I want to thank you for standing this morning as we read the Word of God. Now, when you look back at Daniel chapter 8, verse 27, there's no doubt that Daniel says he was astonished at the vision. God gave Daniel a vision that overwhelmed Daniel so much that the Bible says he fainted and he became sick for certain days. Will you hear me this morning? Right now, presently, you are sick at what has happened to you, what you've heard, what's evolved or what's taking place in your life right now has made you physically sick. You're in the house of God today. You're listening online. You are sick, not with COVID. You're sick, not with a cancer. You're sick because of the news or something that's happened in your life. Maybe there's been a time in the past that you've been sick over something that happened in your life. I'm talking to everybody here. There's been some news, some problem, something that came to you that made you feel sick inside. And it could very well be that today something's going to come into your life, going to invade some news, some something so great it's going to cause you to wilt. It's going to cause you to almost faint. It's going to cause you to become sick feeling. It may be the discovery of a troubled marriage. It may be that the prodigal child has gone further and further away than even where they are now. It may be some financial pressure. Maybe the doctor has not given you good news. Maybe there's time constraints. There's just not enough time for me to deal with what I'm going through. Maybe there's some problem that to you is insurmountable. You are overwhelmed. Now, when you receive overwhelming news, there are things that begin to happen in your life, reactions that you have. No doubt there's somebody this morning that's been overwhelmed and you've become so sick and you've fainted that you've decided to quit church. You're home right now watching online, just tuning in just to see who may be in the choir, but you've not tuned in for the message. Just to see if you could see a smiling face. Just to hear a song of uplifting. But when I said this morning that I'm preaching on someone who's being overwhelmed, you've stopped to listen because you've quit. You've fallen out. And you're not even hearing this message during the current week it's preached. You're hearing it sometime later because you've quit. People quit. They say, oh, well, I've got this terrible news and I've been serving God faithfully for 28 years. And now this terrible news has come and the devil says, where's your God at now? So you just quit. The devil says, you've been faithful 28 years. You don't deserve what happened to you. Honey, maybe God ought to give you what you do deserve. You know what you deserve? You deserve to be in hell with your back broke for all of eternity, suffering and torment. But God saved you, forgave your sins, and you're on your way to heaven. And some problem of this earth has come upon you, and you're going to quit. Honey, you don't have time to quit now. Keep serving God. Some people, they get to a point that they start to complain. They start to criticize. They start making chaos. They start to attack others. They get mean when they have problems. Let me tell you something. For those of you that you've got mean, you're creating chaos, you're trying to stir things up. For those of you that have quit, let me just make an announcement. When you are overwhelmed, you need church more then than you did them other 28 years. You need church more now than you've ever needed it before. That's why the devil's trying to convince you now is the time to quit. Some people, they pout. You go around and they're handing out invitations to the pouting and pity party. Oh, you just won't believe what's happened. There's some people I'm afraid to ask, how are you doing? Yes, sir. I'm afraid they'll tell me. Amen? Well, preacher, dear, if you didn't want to know, why did you ask? I could tell on your face something bad was wrong, but I wanted to know how I could pray for you. We go out to eat sometimes, not every time. We may look to the waitress and say, is there anything I could pray for you about right now before I ask the blessing on our meal? And I've seen them set down their tray and set down their little pad they write the ticket on, and I've seen them just pour their heart out with tears. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you, you're pouting, handing out pity parties. What are you going to do when you've been overwhelmed? Daniel is overwhelmed in verse 27. What are you going to do when you're overwhelmed? What did Daniel do? Well, think about Daniel. Here's a young boy being raised up in a good home who is stolen away by the Babylonians. Goodbye to mama, goodbye to daddy, and maybe never ever see them again. You want to talk about being overwhelmed? He is taken to a foreign land. They began to school him in science and languages. He was a man of great intelligence anyway. And they came to him with the king's meat and the king's drink, you know, intoxicating drink. And his mama will never find out. And his daddy's not going to know what he's been doing. All the religious Jews that he went to church with all those years, they're not going to know what he's doing. And when they come to him with the king's meat and the king's drink and what this world has, he refused it and said, I will not defile myself with such things. Here's a young boy that was being overwhelmed in a wicked kingdom. One day, when old Belshazzar the king has drinking wine out of the things from the house of God, and a hand drops down. What would you do right now if a hand dropped down and began to write in the choir up in the corner, meeny, meeny, tickle, you farson? Nobody knows what it means. Somebody said, go get Daniel. He's a man trained in languages. Go get Daniel. He's a man of great intelligence. They bring Daniel out. He walks in before the king, and the king, who is drunken and shaken, is now completely sober. He says, oh, Daniel, can you tell me? What is that? Can you explain this hand that wrote on the wall? Daniel looks at it and he says, that's my father's handwriting. It says, you and your kingdom have been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. Tonight, the kingdom will be taken away from you. I'll bet that made him feel sick. Daniel had to get up and deliver that kind of a message to the king, who did not want to hear what Daniel had to say. Mm-mm. Now, the Medes and the Persians, they invade Babylon. And the kingdoms have changed places. And now Darius is the new king. And an edict is written that says, any man that prays unto God will be thrown into the lion's den. And nobody in the land was praying that we read about because of the law and the decree that was made by the king. You can't go in the house of God. You can't get on the house of God's property, much less you can't pray, not only at church, you can't pray anywhere. And Daniel goes over to his window, he unlatches it, throws her wide open, and gets down before the window. You talk about overwhelming news, and he says, oh, Lord God of heaven, I beseech you, Lord, would you touch and bless your people living in captivity? And it got reported. People heard that Daniel was praying, and they came back to the king and said, Daniel, your servant has been praying unto the Lord God. And he called Daniel up. He said, Daniel, have you defied my law? Have you gone against what I told you to do? Oh, yes. You can't stop me from praying and calling on God. You're just a man that he's the king of glory. He says, I have no choice, son, but to throw you in the lion's den. You want to talk about being overwhelmed? He was overwhelmed being taken away from his parents. He was overwhelmed being taken a captive in a foreign land. He was overwhelmed at the writing upon the wall, at the changing of the guard. He was overwhelmed being thrown in the lion's den. And when he got in there, them cats, they were roaring. They were ready to tear him to shreds. But as soon as his feet hit the ground, God sent an angel and said, here, kitty, kitty. Y'all be quiet. This is the man of God. This is God's choice servant. Iniquity has not been found in him. He's been thrown down here. He's being overwhelmed by circumstances that are out of his control, but they're under his God's control. Y'all just lay down and make sure you kitty cats keep him warm all night. Hey, man, he fluffed up that lion's mane and he laid down better than a third of perfect sleeper and he slept all night. He was told about the king that King Darius was up all night. I've killed the man of God. I've said terrible things. I've made bad laws. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And the next morning, as soon as the sun got up, he went down there and opened up. The lion's den. He said, oh, Daniel, did you live through the night? And Daniel said, oh, King, live forever. God, said an angel, had spared my life through the night. You talk about being overwhelmed. You have no idea how overwhelmed Daniel was. Time and time and time again. And God is trusting Daniel. And he's giving him visions and showing him things. And now this vision that God gave him was so great that now we see him fainting. It's so great that now we see him sick. A man who had seen all kinds of overwhelming circumstances is in terrible shape. What on earth is he going to do? I mean, what do you do when you raise a child and see them start to go away from the things of God? And as you pray for them and your heart's broken, they go further and further away and you see them reject the things of God. What do you do when your heart is shattered? What do you do when everything that you thought was right has completely gone wrong? I'm telling you, when you don't think things are fair, things aren't fair at the church, things aren't fair at the school, things aren't fair in the world in which you live, things aren't fair in my family, things just are not fair. What are you going to do? I want to submit to you this morning, you need to do what Daniel did when he was overwhelmed. What did Daniel do, Preacher Darren? Verse 3, chapter 9. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. Verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord and made my confession. Verse 5, we have sinned. What did he do? He began to pray. I looked up the songbook while y'all were singing this morning. Number 341. Hand me that songbook. 341. I believe that was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Preacher, you can't preach out of the songbook. Boy, there's a lot more truth in here than you're getting some of the places you're trying to look for truth. Amen. Let me just read to you what the songwriter said. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What Daniel do? He prayed. Keep reading. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Well, Preacher Darren, I'll just tell you something right now. I'm already praying.
Well, let's talk about some of the components of Daniel's prayer and see if it helps you. Your life should be a walk of prayer. You should pray at home. You should pray in the car. You can certainly pray at the church. You can pray by the bedside. You can pray on your lunch hour. Oh, how we need to get in our Bibles and how we need to pray. When Daniel's overwhelmed, he didn't quit. He didn't criticize. He didn't create chaos. He didn't go into a complete panic. He didn't pout. He prayed. What did he pray? Verse number 4. Here's what he prayed. Number 1, he has an admission. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. See what he started doing? He started confessing his sins to the Lord. Here's our problem. We're so proud that we won't humble ourselves and pray. I've been in services before when the preacher preached down my street, knocked on my door. And God, the Holy Ghost, said, you need to get in the altar and pray. Lord, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to go. God said, you need to learn to humble yourself and pray. You know what? Humility always comes before prayer. can really begin. I'm not proud at all. Just listen to me. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. Previously, I quoted James 4:10. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. You see, humility comes before prayer.
Well, Preacher Darren, I've had people that's told me, says, I just think myself to be a pretty humble person.
What a statement. I just want to tell you, brother, I'm a pretty humble person. That's a real humble statement. That says a whole lot about you. You're proud of your humility. When you come before the Lord, do not come in before God arrogantly thinking, I am so important. I have this right. You ought to come saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Prayer, humility comes before prayer. Prayer always begins with yourself. When you call on God, the first person you need to talk to him about is you. You. Begins with yourself. Daniel said, I made my confession. He confessed his sin, not the sins of somebody else. Daniel confessed his sin, not how people had wronged me. Lord, they took me captive. I was sleeping real good and they brought me out and made me read your handwriting. No, he's making his confession to the Lord. Now, search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from sin and set me free. When you are confessing your sin, you're telling God the truth about who you are. Confess means to say the same thing that God says. But what you like to do is confess how somebody else treated you wrong. You like to confess you're in a mess, but you don't want to confess how you got there. Hello. Amen. Amen. It's easy to confess the sins of other people and generics, but it's a little harder when you have to confess your own sin. There are men who pray, Lord, I need you to change my mate. She's unforgiving. She's stubborn. She's not submissive. Lord, change her. What you need to pray is, God, change me. Amen, Pastor. You've told the truth there. Women, you don't need to say, God, change my mate. He's so stubborn and unforgiving, and he's so blessed controlling. Change him. No, what you need to confess is, Lord, change my heart. Amen, Pastor. I know you don't like it, but when you have difficulty, when you're overwhelmed, you have to start with you. Now, when Daniel is confessing his sin, look how it gets in verse 5. We have sinned. Do you see that? The word we, pronoun, it's inclusive of I. And now it includes everybody else. He didn't exclude himself from being sinful. He said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. Verse 8, we, into the verse, have sinned against thee. Verse 11, into the verse again, we have sinned against him. Verse 15, into the verse, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. Verse 16 even says, because for our sins. When we begin to pray, we need to start with God. I confess my sins, and what's in there that I don't know about, reveal it to me so I can get it out and get all these sins confessed to you. Now, show me where I fail you. Reveal to me what is wrong. You know what you think? This is what you think. See, you think sin is greed, and it is. Lust, and it is. Fornication, adultery, and it is. But what about the sin of fear? What about the sin of a lack of faith? What about you confessing to God the tricks your mind's playing on you? You've been thinking about what's happened for so long. And man, this must have happened. And then this, and I need to do this. And you know what really happened? I seen them two together. I know what that's talking about. You need to just go ahead and confess to God the tricks your mind plays on you. The reason you don't have any peace is because you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about what everybody else has done to you. Boy, it's quiet in here. Lord, let my mind, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my actions be pleasing to you. I want to ask you a question. Will you let God have your eyes? He gave them to you. Why don't you give them to him? Why don't you let God have your ears? Why don't you let God have your tongue? Why don't you let God have your hands and have your feet? Why don't you let God have your heart? You know what he really wants? He don't want your money. He wants you. He wants you. Why don't you just give it to him? Now here's your problem before we can get off the ground. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I get a call, and I've gotten one recently, if I get a call at 1 o'clock in the morning, an emergency call, somebody says, Pastor Darren, I'm ready to kill myself. I've got the pistol loaded. I want you to pray that I don't die and go to hell. Now, when I'm in that situation, I don't have time to say, oh, Lord, I need to go get right with him, and I need to make things right with him, and I got to get right. You don't have time to do that. You better have that done this morning. You better have that done before you go to bed. I'll have time to say, well, I went to bed mad at my wife. Well, honey, wake up, please. I need to talk to you for it. No, you need to be right with God before you lay down. To make a long story short, I talked and prayed, and God had him lay the pistol down, and God saved him. Amen. While I was laying there in my bed when they called and got out on my knees down beside my bedside, when I was not feeling well, God saved his soul. Before you start looking around saying, I wonder who it was. I wonder who would have gotten such shape. Who would have got so overwhelmed that, honey, you have no idea. But it don't matter who it is. Could have been you. And one of these nights, you may get a phone call from one of your youngins saying, we've been in a wreck. We've been in a fight. There's a situation happened. There's a robber come. Mama! Daddy, can you pray for us? We're 100 miles away. You ain't got time to say, now what did Preacher Darren say in his message? The first thing I need to do. No! Honey, you need to be doing it right now. You need to be confessing to God your sins, not the sins of everybody else, not how you think everything ought to be. You need to tell him about it now. Look what he says again in verse 5. We have done wickedly and have rebelled, even departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. You know what he confessed? We've departed from the word of God. Is that where we are, America? Is that where we are, church? That you have to hunt for your Bible this morning because you hadn't seen it since last Sunday when you laid it down? Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants. We're not hearing what God's man has to say. We'd rather sleep through the sermon. And when he stands at the back, we say, that was a good message. And when you get home, your neighbor says, what did he preach on? Sin. Jesus. It's the Bible. Feels good to put me right to sleep. Hey, man, I'm just telling you, you need to learn to admit your sin. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Here's his confession. We and I have been disobedient to the voice and the words of Almighty God. Amen. Preacher, when are you going to move on? Number two, we've admitted, we've acknowledged where we are. Number two, watch him as he starts asking. I didn't read it, but let's jump to verse 18. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. Look at verse 19. Underline this verse. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. Daniel begins to ask, I have a question for you. Will you listen to me very closely? Once you've admitted and acknowledged your sin, will you ask God? Are you asking God for anything? If I asked you right now, what are you asking God for? Could you tell me? If I stood at the back and as you're leaving, if I said, hey, coach, what are you praying about? Could you tell me somebody? Brother Bobby, what are you praying about? Brother, what are you praying about? Could you walk up and say, man, yeah, I'm praying about this. Could I help you pray for it? Or would you say, I mean, things are pretty good. I'm not praying about nothing. I just go to church. Honey, you ought to pray every day. You ought to pour out your heart to God. Talk to him about where you are. Talk to him about your heart's desires. Talk to him. Ask him. Do you know what it means to pray? It's to desire. It's to beg. It's to crave. It's to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Are you asking God? Well, Pastor, it's too late. My marriage has gone too far. Pastor, it's too late. My kids have gone too far away. Pastor, my health is too far advanced. It's too late. Pastor, my problem has gone on so long, it's just too big. Preacher Darren, what am I going to do? Honey, have you looked, lifted your eyes and looked at how big your God is? When you see how big your problem is, don't forget about how big your God is. Your God is bigger infinitely than any problem you've ever had. Well, Preacher Darren, I just think it's gone on too long. Honey, let me remind you, when Jesus was 4 days late, he was still on time. Lazarus still arose from the grave. And honey, he can still resurrect your problem. He can still heal. He can still help. He's not too far gone for you to call on the Lord. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, for he can do what no other power can do. Well, hallelujah. I want to say this church, I've thought about the 20 years I've been here, how it's inspired my faith, how it's encouraged me. I began to look around and said, Lord, I remember when we had this and we had this and there's a sinkhole back here and we didn't have no money and oh, I don't know what we're going to do. We still don't have any, but Lord, what are we going to do? And God just says, just look, see what I've done. Nothing at this church has ever been easy. There's always been some difficulty, some problem, some issue to, but you know what? It encourages my faith because look around, everything God has brought about by his good hand of blessing. It's nothing that you did or that I did. It's what he's done. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And when I think about this church, when I look into your faces this morning, I'm not just talking about this building or the property. When I look in your faces and I see and I think about some of the struggles and some of the issues that you faced and I see how God's blessed you and God's brought you through, I just want to take off and run and shout. He saved when you were unsavable. He loved when you were unlovable. He solved when it was unsolvable. God can do what you think could never be done. And honey, he's not finished yet. He's still on the throne, and he's still answering prayers, and he's still moving mountains, and he's still helping us cross rivers. Let's look around this morning and see what he's done. Our problem is we're not admitting where we are and who we are, and we're not asking him to do the impossible. I'm wore out. You need to learn to pray beyond your experience. This is what I know has happened in the past. Yeah, but do you have enough faith to believe that God can do even greater than that? That's why you're where you are. God wants you to pray beyond your experience. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder Woo! Of those that diligently seek him. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Number three, will you look at verse 20? He says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked to me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. He got, thirdly, an answer. When he acknowledged and admitted, and when he began to ask God, God, I've had a vision. I don't understand it. God sent Gabriel to inform him of the vision. What's the vision about? The end times. How tragic the torments that'll be upon the face of this world of woe. He began to see the Jews as kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. Are you listening, America? Turn their backs on Israel. And saw the Jews become castigated and persecuted more than any other people. He saw the Antichrist, all the powers that would be moved from one to the other. Then he saw the Antichrist come on the scene. He saw end time events. And when he saw them, he passed out. And he couldn't even stand. He fainted. And he was sick at what he had seen. A man who'd been in the lion's den, a man who'd seen God right on the wall, passed out at what he'd seen. And yet, you and I are living in that day. These are the last days. We are seeing these things come to pass before our very eyes. And what made Daniel sick and caused him to faint, we just go, la-da-da-da-da, life is so good. I'll go to church. I'll stay home. I'll sing. I'll not sing. This is not Monopoly. This is not some game. We're talking about holy things. And God may have allowed the trouble to come in your life to get your attention to say, you are living in the end times and you need to wise up. You need to consider some things. You need to become a people of prayer. You do need to pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your kids, pray for your marriage. Prayer, listen, pray. Why? There's always an answer. God has an answer for your prayer. Look at verse 13. I'll be done. I promise. I can tell some of you. Verse 13. I'm in conclusion now. Why is Daniel off in a foreign land? Why is he captive? Why is he in a land of oppression and affliction? Why is Daniel seeing these visions? Why is this happening to Daniel? Why is this happening to me? Verse 13, middle of the verse. All this evil is come upon us. We have coronavirus. We have cancer. You have problems that are insurmountable. All this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord. The history of our nation, look back, a nation that was founded on the principles of God, cancer culture, is trying to rewrite the history books, trying to move you away from the foundation. And do you know why the cancer culture has even come up out of nowhere? Because we stopped praying. Our condition, Daniel said, our condition is due to our lack of prayer. Your condition is due to a lack of prayer. If this morning, hey, you boys at the sound booth, y'all with me? Y'all wave at me back there. Now, I prepared y'all a video because I watched somebody and I want to show you this morning your prayer life. Boy, I got people looked up. Whose is it? Is it mine? No, yours wouldn't be but 13 seconds. I want one a little longer than that. I tried to get one that was at least 50. What if this morning, I was just kidding. What if this morning we've displayed your prayer life from the last week? How long would it hold the people? How much time have you spent in prayer? And we live in the last days. You said amen. And you got problems, overwhelming, unsurmountable, uncrossable. You cannot tunnel through. God, I'm just trusting you to get me there. Amen. Are you really burdened about this thing? Are you? You stand to your feet. It is time to intensify your walk with God and pray like you've never prayed. Confess your sin. Admit, ask, seek His answer. Oh, Lord, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so bewildered. I can't pray. Lord, reveal it to me. Hey, the Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This morning, what if the answer was one bowing of the knee away? What if the answer was one folding of the eyes and walking down the middle of the aisleway and bowing in the altar and saying, God, would you help my husband? God, would you help my wife? What if it was one prayer away and you will move? Father, I thank you for the time you've allowed us to have together, looking into a portion of your word. And when we see components of Daniel's prayer, we say, oh, that's so simple. I know to do all that. Yet the great man of God, Daniel, bowed his head and confessed and admitted his sin and the sins of his people and began to ask God, and he got an answer. That simple. Lord, serving you should be simple, and we make it so difficult. Oh God, I'm ashamed to say that, Lord, we spend more time wiping the sweat from our brow as we preach than we do wiping the tears from our eyes as we pray. Oh God, would you turn us? Oh God, would you help us? Lord, I pray you touch my wife, touch my children. Lord, I pray this morning, God, you touch our church. God, I ask you to do those things. But Lord, before I ever walk to this building, before I ever dare get in this pulpit, God, I confess to you my sin. I am wicked. I have done evil. Lord, forgive my sin. Touch us, God, I pray. Give your answer in accordance to your time, Lord. God, I pray that you would do a work when we're overwhelmed. Help us not to quit. Help us to continue a walk of faith. Help us to not complain. Help us, God, not to create chaos. Help us, God, not to attack. Help us, God, not to pout. But help us to pray. For this I pray in Jesus' name.